The history of the Holy Roman Empire. The decay of the early Holy Roman Empire. With the death of Pope Hadrian II, John VIII took over the tiara of the papacy. John VIII hoped to follow in the paths of Gregory the Great and Nicholas I, and he was, in some ways, quite successful. John VIII asserted himself into political matters and made himself an emperor-maker. In order to secure his own position, he excommunicated and expunged all whom he thought aspired to become or control the pope. This list included Formosus, who would become pope almost 15 years later. With the threat of Saracens from the south, John VIII created his own papal navy and built new fortifications to protect the papal states. Then Louis II died in 875. John VIII did not believe that Louis the German would be a trustworthy ally. So on Christmas that same year, Pope John VIII placed a new emperor's crown upon Charles the Bald's head. In return, Charles the Bald increased the boundaries of the papal states and renounced the emperor's right to have imperial emissaries at papal elections. The imperial reign of Charles the Bald would last but a few short years. In meantime, Louis the German died shortly after Charles' accession, and Charles immediately tried to bring Germany under his authority. Nevertheless, Louis the Younger, that's Louis the German's son, repelled Charles the Bald's army. Later, Louis the Younger was aided by his brother Carloman, who marched against Charles. Carloman was ready to take the crown for his own. He marched into Italy, but even Charles's own vassals, tired of the conflict and incompetence, Charles the Bald did not meet Carloman on the battlefield, but instead retreated across the Alps, where he died. Carloman now demanded that Pope John VIII crown him emperor. This event passed quietly among historians, but it is significant, for it shows that even usurpers acknowledged that the emperor had to receive his royal diadem from the pope. However, John VIII stalled. Fortunately, Carloman fell ill and was forced to return to Germany, but his supporters entered Rome on his behalf, along with those excommunicated by John VIII. Duke Lambert of Spoleto and Aldebert of Tuscia had John imprisoned when he refused to crown Carloman. This was the same Lambert who had sacked Rome years earlier, and the same duke whose descendants would usurp the imperial crown in less than 2 decades. Despite many threats, John VIII repeatedly refused to coronate Carloman. The dukes and Carloman were in a precarious predicament. Murdering a pope would not help their aspirations, and the empire now knew that the pope was defying them even while he was in prison. When Carloman died shortly later, they reluctantly released the pope. Carloman's only son, Arnulf, was illegitimate and therefore could not be recognized for succession. John VIII therefore set out to find a worthy emperor. John VIII first sought out Louis the Stammerer of France. In fact, he was coronated king by the pope in 878, but Louis the Stammerer was reluctant to accept the imperial office. He may not have wanted to become the target of other power-seeking dukes, or he may have realized that his time was already short, for he died 8 months later without having come to terms with the pope. John VIII then sought out several other candidates, but settled on Charles the Fat. In 879, Charles the Fat was named King of Italy, and on February 881, he received the crown of the Holy Roman Emperor. Charles the Fat showed no more aptitude for leadership than most of his predecessors. While his domain increased from that of his predecessors, this acquisition was merely because of the natural deaths of his relatives. As the kings died, many left no heirs, forcing the people to turn to Charles the Fat for leadership. In one country, however, Bio at Boso usurped Charles's authority and defected from the empire. This seems ironic, since Boso was in fact one of the men that John VIII had approached about possibly becoming emperor. Nevertheless, Boso's territory was relatively small, and Charles' actual authority was becoming far greater than the emperors before him. He was the closest thing to a real emperor since Louis the Pious. Still, he was not a good emperor, but a weak and feeble emperor. In regard to the Viking threat from the north, he merely paid large sums of ransom and bribe money to keep them in line. The year following his coronation, Charles lost one of his strongest allies. The very pope that had helped him to attain the crown had become the first papal victim of assassination. For reasons unknown, John VIII's own men are said to have poisoned him and beat him to death with clubs. He was followed by Pope Marinius I, sometimes referred to as Martin II, who came to an agreement with Charles the Fat that Formosa and the others accused of conspiracy by John VIII should be reinstated. Their banishment was lifted by the emperor, and Marinus lifted their excommunications. During this time, political pressure from Charles's enemies increased. With the backing and encouragement of Marinus, Charles deposed one of his chief rivals, Guy of Spoleto. Another rival was Arnulf, the illegitimate son of Carloman. Arnulf was gaining more support throughout the realm, but he did nothing at this time to antagonize the emperor. Charles' chief security came from the support of the papacy, but that support was threatened when Marinus died after a reign of only a year and a half. Hadrian III replaced Marinus, and Charles now needed to secure his support, not only for himself, but also for his son, who he hoped would succeed him as emperor. This was compounded by the fact that Charles's only son, Bernard, was illegitimate and could not normally claim to be the heir to the throne. Only with the backing of the new pope could Bernard hope to succeed his father. Hadrian seemed agreeable, but before he could formalize a deal, he died under mysterious circumstances. Although Hadrian had ruled only a little over a year, he had made many enemies with whom he dealt severely. In one case, he ordered a high official's eyes to be put out and even alleged to have had a noblewoman stripped naked and flogged in public. It is therefore little surprise that Hadrian's death occurred suddenly after so short a reign, despite the fact that historians have been unable to ascertain the exact cause of death. Charles the Fat now seen three different popes die in just 3 years. With increasing dissatisfaction over Charles's rule and the inability to secure the right of succession for his son Bernard, Charles the Fat's hope now rested with Pope Stephen V, sometimes called the Sixth. If Charles was to maintain his throne and earn young Bernard's right to succeed him, he would have to have Stephen's blessing. He did not, however, start off on the right foot, for when he had heard that a new pope was elected without his consultation, he sent a chancellor to depose the new pope. Still, when the chancellor saw that the pope had the full support of the clergy and the people, he too supported Stephen and advised Charles to accept him as well. Despite this initial encounter, Charles might still have found favor with the new pope had he answered the pope's call for assistance. In 886, Pope Stephen V, or the Sixth, had called on Charles the Fat to come and protect the Holy See from a Saracen invasion. The Muslims had increasingly stepped up their efforts to gain a strong foothold in Italy and were staging more raids on Rome and the Papal States. Charles was at first obliged to obey, but when he heard of disturbances in his homeland, he thought them to be more important and ignored Stephen's plea. Angry at the incompetence and unwillingness to protect the church, Stephen V deposed Charles the Fat the following year. Charles would die a beggar less than 2 months later, and with him the Carolingian dynasty is said to have died as well. Despite such eulogies, the Carolingians had not passed away. Following the brief interlude of two counterfeit emperors, the Carolingians would see two illegitimate descendants sit briefly and ingloriously upon the throne. In the meantime, Rome was again without an emperor, and Stephen V, or Sixth, needed someone to protect the Papal States. Arnulf may have been illegitimate by his birth, but it was no fault of his own. Arnulf was Carolingian, albeit illegitimate, he was growing in military power and strength. In 887, after deposing Charles the Fat, Stephen called upon Arnulf to come and liberate Italy. Despite Arnulf's desire to help, not to mention attain imperial diadem, he was unable to respond because of his own troubles. The Western Franks in Burgundy refused allegiance to him. Arnulf was not yet strong enough. He became king of the Eastern Franks, but would have to consolidate his strength through the submission of the Western Franks, as well as defend his own realm against Viking raids. So, as you can see, it hasn't collapsed, but what a mess! Trying to keep track of everybody is a nightmare. So hopefully this will straighten itself out next time. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987-1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.